More music.
We need to warn people.
Good evening. Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The Edinburgh Podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. Well, good evening and welcome to a very special edition of the NMF Podcast with me, Dennis Devlin, in association with beheadclothing.co.uk. And what a wonderful show we've got lined up for you tonight. Coming up later, we'll be talking to the Tropicanas. In the meantime, I'm going to kick off with three songs in a row back-to-back, brand new from the Haciendas, and this is Those Are The Days.
This radio station plays more music like this.
Yeah.
station plays more music like this.
Three fantastic songs in a row, back to back, and that was Brand New from Gaz Price and Underclass. Before that, Brand New from The Banes and Like This Forever, and of course, kicking off the three songs in a row, that fantastic track by the Haciendas, Those Are The Days. Coming up next, it's those lads from the Tropicanas.
This radio station plays more music like this.
Have you joined the cult yet? Terrace Cult Clothing, the new casual brand on the terraces. That's Terrace Cult Clothing, terracecult.com.
Just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. Just for the sweetness, ooh, just for the feeling, just for the fun.
deals now on at Currys PC World. Check out these Hotpoint steam washers. This 8-kilo is only £2.49, or trade up to the 9-kilo for just £30 more. Plus, there's free delivery. Save up to £500 on these 2020 Samsung QLED TVs with spectacular picture detail. And no more messy wires with one near-invisible cable from just £1,399. Get the new Fitbit Sense, the most advanced Fitbit health smartwatch for stress management, skin temperature, heart and health. And get free next-day delivery on all Dyson cordless vacuums, including the V11 Absolute. Just £599 at Currys PC World.
Behead Clothing Glasgow at behadclothing.co.uk. Kids sale now on, say up to 50%. Just go to behadclothing.co.uk, enter promo code KIDS50. That's Behead Clothing Glasgow at behadclothing.co.uk.
More music!
We need to warn people.
Joe, welcome in, mate.
Yes. I don't know what was going on there. I didn't realise. Do you know something? I'll give them a text because I had to download an app.
Ah, does it make you download that? Is that what it is? Make you download Anchor?
Aye, that's it.
There's one more in. We're missing
there we go.
There we are. Okay, I can hear you properly from a headset now.
I've got two people. So. Is it Andy and Joe or Adney?
Aye, it's me.
So I'm still waiting on Rory, who I'd imagine will be on. It should be on soon.
Why don't I just go to a pub and do this? Be so much fun. And I got a few beers then, we could be sat in the sunshine right now. How are you guys keeping? You all right?
Aye, good. Not bad.
Yourself? It must be mental being back now, eh? I think we're missing one. Who are we missing?
Rory. Sorry, Rory's in the other room. Are you able to join into that link that he sent?
Aye, you should be able just to click in it.
Just a minute.
You have no problem, because as long as the recording's active, as soon as you pull out of it, it stops the link.
Really?
Aye. So what happens as soon as you come in?
Yeah, it's in the microphone's not allowed.
Yeah,
let's see. Because I had to
go
into the settings of the actual phone.
Yeah,
go into your settings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you want to say, what I'll do is I'll send a link again, you can all come at the same time.
Just a minute.
Might lock him out.
You've got to say permissions and then you change microphone allow when you're using the app and it should now let you do it.
That's it. If he clicks on the link, if it doesn't work, what I'll do is now that he's all set up, I'll send you another link and we'll start from fresh and we'll just go straight into it.
Right.
So let's see if we can click the link. Sometimes what happens is it locks people out because the recording, it thinks the recording started, but usually you can jump in and out once you're in. But...
Mm-hmm. I've never seen this.
It's a lot
never
easier.
Seen this type of thing.
I find it a lot easier doing this because it's I can edit the recording. I can actually recommend it. Basically, there we go.
You need to turn it down a little bit
so you get the feedback.
It's really the Philistine here. Can't use a phone.
That sounds brilliant. That's much better. Right, I'm just going to give you. I'm going to do a quick pause, and I'm going to introduce you all. Okay.
Lovely.
Good evening. I'm Dennis Delton. This is the NMF podcast in association with Behead.co.uk. That's Behead Clothing, Glasgow. Behead Clothing.co.uk. And tonight I'm joined by the Tropicanas. Good evening, Rory, Adney, and Joe.
Hello.
Get some mad feedback.
Somebody's got it on.
How's that happen?
No idea.
Somebody's got it on quite loud. It's like, no, you've ever been live on TV.
Right, wait a minute. It might be me. 2 seconds. I'll put my headphones on.
I put your headphones in.
We're a very technological band.
all right, don't worry about it.
Two secs, please, two secs.
Just to let you know that I had Party Marty on, who's never used a mobile phone in his life, and he got it in two. And he's 60 on your
own. Fair play,
jump me up.
Right, I've got headphones in.
I think it might be me.
It's one, two, three. That sounds a bit better.
Is that right?
Aye, we'll sound better. That's much better. Well, good evening, guys, and welcome to the NMF podcast.
Well, thanks for having us, Dennis. Pleasure.
The joy is all mine. How's your weekend been?
Good, yeah. We were up in the Highlands. Me and Andrew were up in the Highlands. Right to do the Glen Way.
Wow, what was the weather like?
It was scorching hot, blue skies, not a drop of rain the whole time. I was really lucky.
Yeah, couldn't have asked for better weather.
Oh, it sounds amazing. You got a few beers in that, guys?
Yeah, quite a few,
Who's the shagger in the band? Which one's shagger?
All of us.
Probably none of them.
So was that a good week then?
Yeah, it was brilliant, eh?
Let's not go any further, eh? There'll be loads of little Tropicanas running about in a couple of months, eh?
A bunch of wee chukters.
Or playing for some Highland Clump. There'll be some band called the Wee Tropicanas. Well, guys, it's great to have you on. Yeah, so, I mean, tell us when and how your musical journey began.
Do you want to take it, Andrew?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
Andrew likes to take it.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm on the radio, man. I'm burnt. The band just started about, like, probably about 5 years ago. It started off as a sort of a weird karaoke set. I'd started recording songs in my bedroom. Didn't have a backing band or anything, so I used to go on the backing tracks and just carry on songs. And then obviously Joe and other Joe as well. We kind of decided to make a band together and just start playing games and stuff.
Wow. And it's taken off, isn't it?
Hopefully.
I'm getting some really unbelievable feedback. Is everyone using headphones?
Mm-hmm. I'm hearing it as well.
Yeah, me and Ryan are in the same house connected to the same Wi-Fi. I don't know if that's the issue. If maybe really, really wee chat, I've got another headphone that you can take from me. It might be better.
Because it's echoing really. Oh, it's not now.
Try this.
Ah, stopped.
Sorry. And then will it turn your phone off?
Ah, that sounds much better.
That's a lot better.
Yeah. That's fucking magic, that.
There's I mean, look, he's wearing this.
Fucking it, yeah.
Golly.
Fucking right, don't worry. Just don't use the C word. Of any type of C word. There are two C words in Scotland that can't be used right now.
Oh, you can't say that to Joe Marty here.
Is he a big C fan?
Oh, I was wondering if that's what you were talking about.
I feel his pain, mate. Don't worry, I feel your pain, pal. There's two words you can't use. I thanks, mate. I that one.
It's the last thing I want to talk about anyway.
Aye, mate, I know. I just got my renewal and offer. Cheeky bastards. Aye, cheeky bastards, aren't they?
No, that's not.
They want me to pay for that shit. Honestly, God, I can get better fucking vegetables than fucking Aldi. Cheaper than all. Right, that sounds much better. We're good to go. Right, we'll start again. So tell me where and how your musical journey began, guys.
Just like everybody, get your dad's records.
Dad's records. What kind of records were they?
A lot of Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin.
Really?
Yeah, oh, why?
Seriously, that's what your dad was, isn't he?
Oh, aye, big time, aye.
That's mental, man. Is that how you sort of, is that how you got your sort of musical sort of inspiration growing up in that?
Yeah, like,
T-Rex and things like that, just your sort of old school rock and roll, and you get the bug.
Yeah, that's cool, man. I kind of get that. I grew up, you know, my dad was kind of like, the kind of shit he played would be like Marty Robbins and stuff like that, you know. I don't know if you've heard of him. That's probably like a stranger's name to you guys.
I've not heard
them. don't check him out, but that's what I grew up with. So Black Sabbath, no, and obviously, you know, looking now, that's a major inspiration in your life. So, I mean, is that what inspired you to create your music?
I would say so. I mean, I was the first band you start listening to, they're the first bands that make you pick up guitar. I mean, obviously at the start, it's not about making music, it's just about playing everybody else's. And then I think once you get a wee bit older, and I think it's when you want to start playing in a band, like 9 times out of 10, you'll start in a band playing covers. And once you get a feel of it, I think it, the writing sort of thing just comes naturally after a wee while. But I mean, definitely like the first bands you'd listen to. I mean, I was like, loved watching The Who and the old videos of them smashing stuff up. That's what kind of got me excited about playing.
Yeah, they were the kings of rock and roll, loudest rock band and all that. I mean, they're amazing, aren't they? They're just an inspiration to me and all.
Aye.
You just think, how the fuck can you go on stage and smash fuck out of your gear? You must be raking it in.
Oh, I know. Some very nice guitars, drum kits. But John Entwistle, the bass player, I mean, he didn't smash nothing up.
No, he respected his gear. I mean, I'm sitting in a council estate in Glasgow with a £100 guitar, watching him smash fuck out £800 worth of kit, thinking, this is it, man. This is rock and roll.
That's your month's wages. He's just smashed into pieces.
And he thinks it's funny, and he's got a case. There's a wee roadie who's got another case with a brand new one in it for him. It's all right, isn't it? Living the dream and all that.
That's it.
Guys, what's it like when you're like getting the studio? What's your creative process like? How do you sort of pull a track together in that when you're in the studio? What's it like?
Are any of them still there? Is it just me?
I've got Rura and Joe. That's what apparently I've got.
All right.
I think they've all fucked off and left you, mate. I'll be honest.
Sounds like it.
I think they've fucked off.
All right, I'll do my best just to cover the now until they come back. But for us, when we first started off, Andrew had.
Getting feedback now. Well,
Back.
That new Joe?
Aye, I'm still here.
And Rura.
Yeah, I've no left. I don't know what's
Rury.
Going on.
Rury.
Rury.
Rura.
Rury. Like
that's a fucking cool name, that.
Can you hear me at all?
Aye.
Can you hear me now?
Aye.
I don't know. I've not changed anything. I think I'm setting up with my phone, to be honest. I don't know what's going on, but...
No, you're coming through. one's coming through perfect, another one's echoing. So somebody's either.
I can hear myself when I speak.
That may be what it is. I can't hear myself speaking. That's all right.
You should be able to hear yourself, really. I think. Whoever said is it me?
Me?
Because whoever's talking to me before was perfect.
Scotland won a lot.
Jack Henry, Screamer, Jack fucking Henry.
Aye.
You're fucking kidding me, aren't you?
That was.
Oh, Jesus fuck.
I shot you inside the box.
You should have done that in Scotland game.
It's just an illusion party.
It's bad feedback. I don't know who it is, but
Do you want me to try leaving? Because I'm definitely feedbacking, and I'll try coming back in.
Aye, sure. That's probably the best way, and we'll go
there.
Go.
Right. How do I leave? A bit.
Hang up. Just
finish recording.
Aye, that does it.
Right.
Right, hello.
How does it sound?
Hello. Sounds all right to me.
Aye, I don't know. It's quite weird. We were talking, and I don't think either of you could hear us for a wee while there. No biggie.
That's better. So Scotland's 1-0 up, and it's Jack Henry.
Jack, and it's not a header. I don't believe that.
No, it's a screamer.
Top bag, is it?
And I'm fucking mental. And the guy couldn't score to save him. He was absolutely pissed. Did you see the video of Twitter kicking off in Belgium?
No, I saw that.
It's called Thomas Space Cadet.
It was quite funny, aye.
There's Joe back.
How did that sound without me on?
Oh, it's Rory, it's you, mate.
How's that possible? It was all right 2 seconds ago.
I'm Rory, jump out a second, mate.
Sure.
Joe?
Yes.
Oh, clear as fucking day, mate. Not a single fucking bit. We should have just done it with you, mate. Honestly, just fucking mate.
I wasn't even going to do it. They'd asked me sort of like last minute if I wanted to join in. And I was like, I may as well. And I might have to do this myself.
Aye, mate. Fuck them off, mate. Let's block them out, mate. They're just getting pissed watching the football, mate. Right, Joe, we'll start from now then. So, obviously, we figured out the inspiration. I want to know what the process is like when you're in the studio. What's the creative process like for you guys?
For us, at the start, Andrew basically had heard songs. He had already heard maybe 5 or 6 songs that he was... toured. They never really toured. They played a couple gigs. It's just kind of like a karaoke type set. So he recorded songs, played the backing track and sang along to them. So decided after that to put a band together. So at the start, the process was basically just learning the songs that he'd had. And once we'd got them down, it just turned into sort of just jamming, really. I mean, they would always have an idea. Andrew would always have a sort of, like, pretty much a full song. And then we would all go in and just sort of add our own bits onto it. And pretty much the same with every other band, really. And that's pretty much it.
The music's quite lively. I really like it. It's a lovely little beat to it. I mean, how would you describe your music to folk who don't know you?
I like to say that we're a tropical surf band from outer space.
Fucking like that, mate. That quality. That's, you know what? You get the same shit. Oh, we're a pop indie band. We're a rock indie band. No, we're a bunch of space cadets here out of space, and we're loving the party.
Exactly.
Yeah, fucking right, mate. I fucking love that, mate. A tropical surf, mate. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, looking at the name of the band, who came up with that?
That was a joke. It was a bit of a joke name, sort of. Because obviously it's got that kind of summery, kind of surfy, kind of vibe to it. But also just the fact that we're all from Scotland. It's like the least summery place that you can think of. It's not a place that a band called the Tropicana has come from.
I'm going to take credit for it, though.
Are you? All right. I thought, to be honest, I thought Wannies was a Wham fan or something like that. There's a secret Wham fan in there. And you were sitting there listening to Club Tropicana thinking, that sounds all right. Or Wannies would be to Vegas had too much drinking for. I like the sound of this.
I mean, that is a banger of a tune, to be fair.
And do you know what? It is, actually. It is, in fairness. It's like, it is a good tune. And do you know what? Your music's very, it's that summery, bouncy, happy feeling in it. And, you know, we need that now. That's the kind of music we need.
Yeah, that's what we go for. You know, we want to put good vibes out there, man, because I think in the past we have made music that wasn't quite as sunshiny. And I think it's good, especially now, to put out good vibes and you know, people have things that people can just get into, even if they're not really into music, but just starting with a good beat and things like that make it accessible and just nice. It helps you, I think, in the long run as well.
Yeah, it's like the Beach Boys, isn't it? It's like a modern Beach Boys. It's got that feel to it.
Yeah, we've heard that before, actually. It's funny. We're not all big fans of them, really, to be honest, but I think it's something that we've done just naturally.
I'm guessing you've done a few gigs and that. Where's been the most interesting venue you've performed in and why?
That's fun. Probably Kelburn Music Festival.
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was mad, man. It was a mad hippie fest, and it was scorching sun. And just there was no big bands there, so it was just people that were there just to have a good time and just see things that they hadn't seen before. Well, there's no big bands that we knew or anything like that. I'm sure people were there to see some bands, but you know, it was just people going and just having a good time, just up near Largs. So there was a wee away to the beach, and it was just a lovely wee low key fest. Everyone having a good time, chilling, sitting out, listening to tunes. But yeah, I couldn't really think of a better one than that.
Yeah. Sometimes the best festivals are ones with just a big tent, you know, no main stage, just a tent and a load of people just enjoying themselves. You know, they're the best ones sometimes. Like you say, no number one act and just everyone in it together having a good time, you know.
It's a lot more chilled, I think, than like the you know, a really big festival as well. Because we've been to that Lindisfarne Festival as well. It's down in Berwick-upon-Tweed. We weren't playing there, but it was the exact same sort of vibe, like you're saying, sort of chilled out. People are just there to listen to music, and it's just, it was just, just a nice vibe rather than sometimes when you go to like a big festival with all these mainline acts and stuff like that. It's,
exactly. Little ball bags who just think they're just because they've got a Stone Island jacket on and they think they're no Gallagher, you know, they're fucking better than everyone else, you know, them kind of fannies. There's a few of them about, I know. So where about in Scotland are you all from, guys?
Livingston.
You're all from Livingston?
Yeah, all of us, we kind of, more or less kind of grew up together.
Wow.
Sort of like playing together in various sort of bands and stuff like that for years. Joe joined the Tropicanas, but before that he was in a local band that we kind of played with and stuff like that as well. And it's, you know, through that that we kind of met Joe, but the rest of us kind of went to school together.
And so you all got together and stuff. Do you mind your first ever gig? What was your first ever gig like?
Broadcast in Circuit Hall Street.
Really?
It was decent.
Did you enjoy that? How were you received?
All right, I think. no one really tells you if you're shite, but that's the thing. So, I mean, it could have been bad, it could have been good. Who knows?
Somebody tells me if you're shite in Glasgow, you're going to find out. They're going to tell you. So you must have been all right. That's all you need to know. You know?
That's a good point. See
if you could perform in any venue or any festival, where would you like to perform?
Yeah, probably Primavera for me.
Yeah, Primavera.
That's one of the best festivals I've ever been to.
Yeah, big time.
Barcelona. Oh. Right on the beach almost. And amazing.
Oh, mate, it's like an advert for booze, isn't it? Oh, mate, what an... What's that? Lestrella? What's that? Barcelona beer? Yeah, I can see you guys actually
doing
that beat. Yeah, I can see you making an Estrella advert, mate. I can see you guys making that advert. But is it, honestly, the music is like that. I can just sit myself on the beach, man, you know, tap half an hour, having a beer and listen to you guys play. You know, that's, you know, yeah, so man. Estrella, if you're listening to Estrella right now, you know, make a new video. These guys are more than happy to leave Scotland, you know, and come to Barcelona. You know, just saying, they'll go out the way to do it for you and all. You know? Just never know, eh? If that happens, I want to know, you know.
It's a commission.
Come and record it. I just want the free beer, mate. And a trip to Barcelona. I've had a few trips to Barcelona and they've all been messy.
So,
do you guys get any plan to tour just now?
Nah, not tour, no, not at the moment, really, to be honest, no.
He's no fancy getting about a little bit and coming down across the border. It'd be nice to see you in Carlisle, I won't lie.
For sure, definitely. I mean, it would be good to kind of do that, but obviously just with like COVID and stuff like that at the moment,
we
even get gigs in the first place. I know that like a lot of places are starting to open up for like gigs and that. We went, when we were up in Inverness, there was some live music there. So I think everything's kind of starting to open up, but yeah, definitely. I mean, it's something that I think that we would kind of maybe plan to do.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, next year or probably next year we'd maybe look at doing something like that.
But we're in a little bit of a. It's definitely me that's feedbacking, isn't it?
Don't worry, but it's not as bad as that. I can sort of edit out. It's when it's like it sounds like I'm in a tunnel, you know.
with my pals at one end and me steaming at the other, thinking I'm a wido, shouting, hello, hello, hello. They're all saying, piss off, piss off, piss off. Come on, what, damn it, man. You all think you're a wido, a few beers at 4 a.m, walking back, steaming at you're walking to some place and it echoes, and you think, I've got to shout, echo, because it's the only thing you think to shout.
Yeah, absolutely.
So no, it's not that bad, honestly. It's much better now.
That's good.
So I mean, it'd be great if you run to it. I've got to ask what he's doing just now. What have he's working on just now, and what he's got for the future planned?
So we've got during lockdown we've worked on a new set of songs. So we've got a new EP, and we've basically just been recording that in our wee home studio over lockdown. So we've got our first single of the EP is coming out on the 9th of June. And then we've got a single coming out every month, three singles coming out once a month. And then we release the EP in August, I think it is, that we release the full EP. So we're in a bit of a transition stage at the moment where we've recorded these tunes without actually learning them as a band. So we're kind of trying to get together and learn these tunes that we've recorded sort of separately. Unfortunately, Joe White, the Joe that's not here, he was seriously isolating and no one could see him. Because he lives with his parents that were shielding, so we've not really had much of a chance to jam as a band in the last year or so with lockdown. So we've actually made a lot of music that we all need to teach each other. So it's going to take a while to do that, and then hopefully we'll get on the road, like you say.
And how is he? How is Joe? Is he all right? Is family okay and that?
Everyone's fine. Yeah, absolutely. Thankfully, uh-huh. So I've not actually had. I think any of us have had anyone really had any real bad effects from the COVID, which has been good. I think a couple of people have had it and been all right. After a couple of days, really, but nothing too bad, thankfully, at our end.
Good, good. You know, it's we forget sometimes just how serious it can be. You know, jokes aside. You know, I mean, obviously, must have had a major impact on you guys. Obviously, being able to perform together and that. Yeah. But some bands I've spoke to have said COVID's actually been a bit of a blessing for them in the way that they're able to sit down and concentrate on the writing. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's kind of helped you guys out as well?
Yeah, we've been a lot more prolific certainly in the last 6 months or so. I think me, Andrew, and Joe, have recorded basically this full EP, haven't we?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, we're all kind of multi-instrumentalists, so we all kind of dabble on wee bits and bobs, so it's quite good to be able to do that.
And do you think your music's maturing and getting slightly different over the years, or will it stay the same sort of vibe?
I hope it'll stay the same kind of vibe, but evolve at the same time. I'll be looking to just hone it in a wee bit. And as Andrew kind of mentioned and Andrew kind of said, it started off as Andrew's sort of songwriting project that he sang karaoke and then we kind of came in, but we kind of all write songs as well, so we're all kind of starting to put forward songs that are in the same vibe anyway, just because we all like the same similar music just now and things like that. So I think it'll be start to get a wee bit more eclectic, but still on the same chilled groovies, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you do, you can hear the music changing slightly, but still having that belly undercurrent, that nice little vibe, which I guess is your identity, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You can't lose that, or what are you?
No, absolutely. I mean, looking at the future, have you any plans or consider collaborating with anybody?
Don't have any plans to, but if anyone was interested, we'd be happy to. You see it, bands sort of covering each other's songs and things like that, which always gives an interesting end product. I would be into that.
Is there any bands that have caught your eye that you thought, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing a little ding dong with them?
I think a lot of bands around our area have been in a similar situation to us with it. I think even gigs and things, they don't really know what people are up to at the moment, man. It's all a bit of a surprise. Like, it's quite funny to think what other bands are actually making now. So I've not actually seen much new music getting released apart from Dictator.
Yeah, are they brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all right. The bassist is a bit of a dick. Like, I'm not sure.
I heard he's the soundest in the band.
I had them on the podcast there, but what is it with Scottish bands? They're all a bit mental, aren't they?
Who did you have on?
I had them all.
Have you not heard that? Have you not...
You probably did, if you were in that. About a month ago. about a month, 2 months ago.
I've done quite a lot of the podcasts.
He's so popular, you know.
I think if you listen to the Dictator one, you'd definitely remember that one. It was mental. Not as bad as it wasn't as mental as talking to them arcade state. They were just fucking nuts. Honestly, I think they were all steaming. I think they were all fucking smashed out the heads and just thought, fuck it, let's go on the podcast and have a bit of banter with Dembo. he can fucking take it. I thought, you know, you try to stay professional, the show must go on and not try to keep the questions going. I'm like, you know, they gave me questions like, you know, so who's your inspiration? Noddy.
Noddy Chris Lade or Noddy the cartoon? No,
just Noddy the cartoon. I didn't know. You know, and you know,
either way, it's not a good thing.
I said, so what's been the difficulties you've found having a jobby? Like, oh no. You know, you just think, do you know what? Fuck it, they're from Drumchapel and all that, you know. And I said, wait, you think it was Clydebank? I said, fucking Clydebank, Drumchapel, and Maryhill. I said, for fuck's sake, there's a fucking safari for you, innit? You know, one of them was talking about getting a career afterwards. I was like, listen, pal, you're food to your Drumchapel. Your career's two things, music or burgling, you know. So don't worry, guys. You know, the shit hat goes on this podcast. The idea of this podcast is just be to have a bit of a laugh, you know, and talk about your music and that. You know, it's not too serious, you know. I'm going to play a lot of your music because I think it's brilliant. And like I say, it's a chance for you guys to tell us a little bit about your stuff. You know, there's always a joke in the past. So who's the joker in your pack and who's the shagger? Which ones? But there's always one of you. It'll go on Instagram where he's tap half in a beer and, you know, put stand next to the pool giving it lads. Which one is that? Who's the one?
Honestly, it's none of us, man. I wouldn't even lie and say it someday. We're just not those kind of guys, I'd be honest with you, man.
So usually the guys who go on holiday and just, you know, have a nice beer. And culturally, you're culturally educated, Joe. If you're going to Spain, you're going to tour the Mavellas, Noran?
No, not at all. We're in the pubs getting steaming, but just no lads, man. We're no lads.
No. The money is, you're all shaggers.
Aye, oh, of course, aye.
Right. That's what I like to hear.
There's girlfriends in the other room, man. She better not hear you say that too loud. She's a shagger.
Aye, obviously, before you met her, let's what you know. I'm not, you know, we don't want to put anybody in trouble, and that we'll get to that later. I don't worry, we've got some interesting ones coming up. I mean, on a serious note, what's the best advice you've been given and by who?
I mean,
right now, the advice you're getting for your girlfriend that's hung up. Get out. The next thing you say, you're getting bolted. You know how.
Best advice?
If you had any advice, then what's the best advice you've had, you know, like, you know, keep your heads down and all that, just do your own kind of thing and all that kind of thing.
Me? What? I don't know if anyone's ever given me advice.
Really? No advice? I suppose...
There's nothing more depressing than good advice, you know?
I suppose when you live in Livingston, there isn't many folk apart from some old guy coming home and, from the pub on a Sunday who'll hear you singing and think, you know, here's some advice for you boys, but he's steaming. Yeah, I can...
So we kind of sometimes make these sort of videos that are like a little bit kind of... I guess less about the music and more about just making sort of comedy stuff. So we made a Save Avengers sort of thing called Stop, Drop and Roll. And it's just like, most of it's just me and Joe playing a couple of our tunes in the living room, but in between it we've got like adverts and stuff like that. People seem to like that quite a lot. One of the folk from school liked it and put in the comment, you guys are all right at the music, but maybe stick to the comedy instead. So that's the
only bit of advice I can think of. That's the best advice we've had as a band is to stop singing and start doing comedy. Kevin Briggs, if you're looking for some sidekicks right now, there's a band in Livingston that are, they can play music and they can be a comedy act as well. Fucking hell. Love that. What advice would you give to a young Scottish band trying to break out?
Just don't be afraid to do the things that you think you shouldn't have to do. I think we spend quite a lot of time thinking, you know, it's sometimes hard to want to push yourself and say, listen to us. you know, sometimes feel a bit silly doing that. I don't know if it's maybe just feeling like, why would anyone want to listen? Or just have that confidence to say, nah, this is good, listen to this kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Nobody else is going to. If you don't try and get your music out there, nobody else is going to. So for years, we kind of had the attitude that maybe, you know, like just making the music was enough. But I think you have to kind of put yourself out there, because nobody, you know, maybe people will find you, but you know, putting yourself out there and asking people to listen to music, I think, is probably the best way to maybe just get more people to listen to it, because that's what we are at the end of the day, as entertainers. You
know? Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
No. That's a really good point, you know. And you are entertaining. You sound like a right cracking bunch of lads. You've obviously known each other a long time. You don't seem to be taking it too serious, and that's a positive thing, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
yeah, you got to take the piss out yourself as well, man. You know, or else you'll be too offended when other people do it.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you, or what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened to you while you're performing? Anything?
Just play. For me, man, it was just playing in a place that we probably just shouldn't have been in the first place, man. And just like, you could just see the people wanting to kick the fuck out of us while we were playing our tunes.
What was that? The Cumbernauld Social Club?
Andrew's for Cumbernauld, man. There he goes. He knows.
I'm for Cumbernauld, I know.
That's glad. What's it called?
I was in that advert.
No, you weren't there.
I was, on Dulles the golf course.
That's amazing.
My claim to fame is I'm the specky kid that at the end of the hour that pots the ball into this.
need to go and watch that.
using the golf club to play, try and pretend like a play snooker. And the worst thing is, it showed you that it was actually pissing down the actual Dulles golf course. That was hole 8, and it was bogging. It was soaking wet. And they gave me, all they gave me for that was a bottle of Iron Brew, and this is no other lie, and £2.50. Hey, listen, tell you something, pal. £2.50 was a lot of money, and I could go up to Greg's in the Toon Centre and get myself a Devon bomb there and a bottle of Iron Brew. you know what I'm saying, mate. You
know? And sausage rolls used to be 40p.
Oh, pal, you know what I mean? Honestly, mate, I used to go to school there with Sky School, and we'd go up on the Toon Centre, sit in the roof of the Cumbernauld Toon Centre and just soak up the sun in that. It was mental. Cumbernauld, I think Cumbernauld was a mental place. I mean, you Gregory's going on that, you know, and the big clock. We used to go, you know, that's where you courted the gate and the girls and all that. You know, you met your ladies there, or you met one of the ladies and she took your jacket off you, and then you went to it Saturday night, you met another bird, she took your jumper, and you got back to school on Monday and she was out with your best pal. And then she's coming to school wearing your jacket. Everybody's coming to school wearing your jacket and your jumper. And you're like, fucking hell. There's a lesson in there somewhere. Cumbernauld, what's it called? A new generation. So who's the Cumbernauld? Which one is the Cumbernauld?
Oh, that's me. To be fair, my mum and dad are from Cumbernauld. I spent 5 years. I was there from ages 0 to 5 in Cumbernauld. So I don't really properly know Cumbernauld too much. I go through to see my granddad and that.
But
my family lived there for years. My brothers are from Adrian Hill.
Oh, no way, that's mental. That's Springfield Road and all that. Anyway, I went to St. Mary's Primary and all that.
I think it was it Oak Road, I think.
Aye, I know, aye. I was at Afton. I grew up in Afton Road. It's a place called Seafower, it's just along the road. And Afton Road, 34G Afton Road, there were little flats, four of us in one flat. It's mental.
Do you go up there the camp season?
Until they started murdering folk and finding bodies up there. My dad was like, listen, me man, might not be an idea for a young boy to go walking up there. He says, try going to Croy or something. So I thought I'd go for a walk into Croy, and thought that didn't work out too well. I was safer in the camp season. Honest to God, what was mental was we moved to the village, right, and then up to this little fancy estate called Ballock, which is in Eastfield, right, just facing right on the Croy, right. And we went to St. Morrissey, and Eastfield hated Croy because Eastfield were all a particular blue colour, and Croy, of course, the home of Pat Clinton and all that, were all green, and they used to jump the fuck out of me, and I'm like,
I'm the only fucking green one that lives in that whole fucking area. You're jumping me, you fuckers. I mean, delusional fucking idiots.
You know, I learned a lesson about Croy. Stay away from it. And then the tunes then, I say, years ago when I was a kid, me and my sister, we used to nick the trolleys. We used to get 10p in the trolleys. And there was William Lowe's at one end and the taxi rank at the other end. And we dominated it. Me and my pal Kevin Crawford, I don't know if he's still alive out there, but he had the hardest right hook I'd ever seen in my entire life. So if anybody fucked with us, he just cracked them. He was mental, you know. 10p a trolley. We were making £18 a day and they wanted us to go to school. Cumbernauld, eh? Aye, that made me all right. So moving on from reminiscing about Cumbernauld, this interview's just gone all over the place, man. I always do a little bit called the confessional zone. Now, I'm guessing you have not listened to your podcast, which is kind of disappointing because you would know that I ask a little confession. If any of you have anything to confess, I can forgive you. This is your chance for penance, you know. So if you could confess to anything, decide that I will forgive you, what would you like to confess? And what have you done that's been naughty? Come on, this is your chance to redeem yourself.
I'm trying to think of what ones I want to actually say. There's so many, man. There's so many. What do I want to use this opportunity for? What would be best?
Fuck's sake, my girlfriend's next door, man. He's like, oh, fucking, I've got to be careful what profession are you to, man. I've used that many up, you know what I mean? Between fucking the various issues and fucking medical creams I've had over the years. I mean, this is your chance for forgiveness here. This is a serious moment. This is a moment of reflection, guys.
I'm pretty sure Joe goes to confession every week, so he's probably all right anyway.
I've not been in years. Maybe that's my confession.
Joe, I forgive you, mate. You're already blessed, mate. All right, don't you worry about your confession.
I don't know if that's going up.
I've got one.
Joe, you're blessed and forgiven no matter what, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Next.
I've got one. So, one time we were playing a gig at Henry's Cellar in Edinburgh, and there was a pint on the table, and I saw the pint, and I didn't have a lot of money. So I just took the pint and started drinking it, and then it turned out it was Rory's, and he came back, and he was like, is that my pint? And I went, no, it's not your pint.
Nice. Dennis, can't he forgive the cunt for that, man? No chance.
You nick your mate's pint and then they come back. Because what you don't know is when he was at the bar, he was actually at the bar ordering your pint in the first place.
And no, the worst thing was, I was skint as well and that was my last pint.
Fuck off with forgiveness, mate.
I'm not even joking, man. you're not forgiving him for that.
I can't forgive him for that. If I forgive you for that, I'm going to have 100 people saying to me, oh, that's funny, I can go nick my mate's pint. And that can cause, I'm looking to the future to avoid violence. You know, so I'm not going to forgive you for it. However, I also understand that sometimes if your mate wants to walk away and leaves his pint at his table, he's stupid. And you're in a bar and somebody's going to drink it. So the fact that you drank it and not some fat fucker who might have thought it was a young girl's and dipped something into it, you know, I think you could have saved him from a totally different experience.
I mean,
right. I basically saved somebody.
I think so, yeah.
I need to put a wee bit of context in there that there was other people at the table that we were with. I left my pint on the table, went for a fag halfway through, leave it with my brother and a couple of pals, come back and Andrew's standing at the table drinking my pint, you know. No excuse, mate.
it's a difficult one, this, you know. You went off for a cigarette, man. You left. Did you share your fag?
Eh?
Did you give somebody a cigarette while you were outside?
I usually do. Usually Andrew. Andrew taps fags off everybody and pints.
Then there can't be no blood. There can't be no forgiveness for that because he's a genuine nice guy who's left his pint, gave some poor guy a fag and all. I mean, how can I justify this? So I'm sorry, I can't forgive you. So what I can do
is offer you penance. And the only way I can, the only way you can receive this penance is by replacing that pint.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Right, there's a pint in the fridge,
really. Hallelujah.
Right. So if there's four cans in the fridge, two of them are his. All right.
And then the third's mine as well.
Well, I would say so. If I do, just if I drink a mommy.
Have one for you, Dennis.
Definitely, mate. Definitely. And there's no need for Hail Marys out for that. You know, we're beyond all that now. He can't save you on this one, mate. You know, because if that had been the wine, you'd have been dodgy ground, mate. Really
dodgy. If he'd taken the tonic, man, that would have been taken too far.
That's just you're not a pal then, mate. You're a homeless dumb stealing somebody's buckfast. That's, you know, that's when you start getting paper bags and strolling up and doing Livingston, you know, and nicking folks. You know, things are going bad for you there, pal. So I would definitely not forgive you for that. I'd probably contacted you afterwards with a number that you could call to get help, you know. Scotland's got a terrible habit that I've never known to steal your mate's beer. I just...
You know, Sam, talking about beer, I've 41. I've 41, confession.
Right, let's go.
And this will be interesting to hear, you're taking it, but so this was at Primavera when we were there a few years ago. I'd lost everyone, it was just myself, and had no money, desperate on a pint. So I'm just desperate for a drink of anything, and I'm walking along and I see a guy in a Celtic top standing next to the bar. So I go there at him straight away, all right, hail, man. Get hail, him hail, just, man. Just start talking away. He goes to buy a pint. I was like, you get us one? He's like, aye, man, I'll get you one. I was like, sorry, man, I'll get you one back. Get him the pint, hands it to her, and I gave him the, 2 minutes, and I fucked off. Never seen the guy again.
Deliberately,
totally deliberate.
Oh, sorry.
You're getting a reputation as a band.
And are you a Celtic fan?
I am, indeed. I see,
mate, that's not bad, mate. That's nothing wrong with that, mate.
Fucking,
that's just being brotherly, mate, towards the cause. You know what I mean? The man saw you as a Celtic fan. And it's not how we all. You can always tell by walking up to you. First thing you say is "Hail, hail." You know, exactly. So that's you forgiven. You've just walked up to him and said "Hail, hail," and he's went "Hail, hail, pal."
If I told him that I had no money, and if
I'd still buy you a pint,
he probably would. But I just said I would get him one back and.
No, I mean he knows that score. He's well experienced, mate. He's probably like me, travelled around Europe with the boys and that, and that just goes with it, mate. You know, the guy walks up to you, mate, get his opinion. Like, I know your skin, pal, but I'm going to get you a pint because you said hail, you know.
Exactly.
That's a club. Exactly. No, you are. There's, that's not forgiveness, mate. In fact, I'm going to embrace you.
Thank you.
You're getting a blip. In fact, that's an extra tenny. For you, pal. In fact, that's a full tonic. That's a tonic wine for you, mate, because you've earned that. So tonight, when this is over, I want you to get yourself a bottle of tonic. No fucker's getting it. It's yours, mate. And bless yourself, mate, because you have deserved that, mate.
Thank you very much.
Moving on. Well done, guys. Congratulations. You have done well tonight. That's definitely one of the better confessions I've had tonight. I feel emotional. I feel like I've helped you. I feel like, you know, ask Agnes or something, you know.
Hallelujah.
There we go. I'm in the wrong podcast here. This should be called Godcast. No money fuckers podcast. You know what I mean?
Pint stealing wanker podcast.
I mean, fucking. And honestly, anybody listening in Livingston who's had their beer stolen from their table, you now know who it is. Feel free to contact the podcast anytime, and I shall ensure that your details are passed on and beer will be replaced. On the other hand, tough. Fuck off, don't leave your beer on the table, unmanned. Man up, you fucker. Here's the fucking nationality. Guys, I mean, how supportive have friends and family been to you on your musical journey?
Oh, completely, entirely, yeah.
You're not homeless, are you?
No, not at all, no.
That's all right, that's good. Are you all staying at home? You're all living at home with your mom and dad's now, or you're like, have you all grown wings new and, you know?
I've got a mortgage, man.
My man's got a mortgage. You don't nick deals.
I don't nick beers. I save beers.
Mate, legend. Guy's got a mortgage.
Yeah?
I mean, guys, do you know what? Who in the rest, who else has got a mortgage in that band?
Joe White.
He's got Joe White's got one.
So did Ryan, actually.
Oh, so you're pretty much... If you've all got mortgages, then I was going to say, look, if only one has got a mortgage, from now on, you never have to buy a pint again, because I think that's only fair, mate. I think everyone should buy your beer if you've got a mortgage, you know what I mean? What do you guys do when you're not singing and, you know, nicking beer? What do you do for a living? What do you guys do?
Banking, call centre.
Same.
Call centre? Are you one of them guys that phones me, or are you one of the guys that I phone to support?
No, that's customer service, man. So it's not too bad. But pays the bills, man. So can't complain.
Okay. For our listeners, I would like you to. I'm going to ring you now. So, and I want you to tell me how you answer. Are we ready? Ring, ring.
Hi there, you're Fitz and Rory. How can I help?
I'll tell you what it is, pal. This fucking satellite dish you sent is. It only picks up Nick Stowe's stuff, and I'm a bit worried because the police have been at his door every day and took his computer that away, and I'm a bit worried about my satellite dish maybe getting any problems. Can you guarantee that's on it?
Likely story, mate. Nah, likely story.
Well, yeah, mine says it's made in Bangkok.
That's where we operate.
It's that we operate, mate. So, is there anything else you can maybe offer me on the sideline?
What I'll do is I'll pass you through to my manager, mate, because I don't really give a fuck.
All right, that's brilliant. Thanks, Ed. Mind you, God, where are we going with this? Aye, so you're a call centre guy. That's brilliant. You're one of them that takes a call. You're a taker, not a giver. I like that. That's excellent. You know, there's nothing worse than one of them guys that phones you up like this and go, you answer your phone, and they go, good afternoon, my name is Peter. And you're like, mate, your name's not Peter. Let's get off to a good honest start here. You're going to sell me something, and you're starting the conversation with a lie. You know, it's not good, is it? You know what I mean? I know his name's not Peter, you know, or Roger, or Christopher, or Joe. You know, let's get the conversation off properly. What else do you guys do?
I work in HR for a charity.
Really? What charity? What charity is that?
I'm not divulged to tell you that.
No, that's cool. The fact that you work for the charity is, you know, hats off to you, mate. You know what I mean?
I think that's the only thing that makes it okay. If I said that I worked at HR and any other organisation, then...
you're hated by everybody.
Exactly.
Everybody. All your staff, all the staff hate you because you're the fucker that chucks their holidays off and all that. But it's a charity. You know, and a fair play to you, mate. Well done, you, mate. You know what I mean? Because we forget there's a lot of charities out there that need help. You know what I mean? We should support as many charities as we can. Obviously.
Don't steal from the charity.
Yeah, no. We don't steal from the charity. No. See, that's the kind of thing that kids do in Cumbernauld and holding the chippy. They steal the charity books to buy. And then they come back in 10 minutes later with a load of fives and twos, try to buy fish and chips out of that chippy. They've just sold. The charity books. They can't understand how they got caught. Oh, is that one of my confessions that I've heard before? It might have been a confession I've heard before, that one.
Yeah, that was one of the confessions.
Here we go. I'm just giving. So, I always ask, if you were trapped in an elevator, who would you least like to be trapped in with? Right now, I'd probably say the barman. You keep in the bar, you know, the way things. You want to be stacked in with him, you keep nicking his beer.
I don't know, man. Boris Johnson.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Yeah, he's a fucking arrogant prick, isn't he? Well, tell you what, seeing as we're on the Scottish situation, you know what's coming next. Is it a yay or a nay?
Aye.
One. Aye. Is that aye straight across the board?
Nah, I'm a no voter.
Give me a no voter.
Nah, I mean, I didn't vote.
I don't give a shit. You don't vote, but
nah,
would you? Would you...
I'll definitely vote for aye.
How do you see the future of Scotland if we were independent? See, on a serious note, how do you guys think Scotland would cope independently?
I think it would take a wee while transition, but when you look at all the other countries that have done it, they're thriving now. From the little research that I've done, that I did at the time, so I would imagine it would be much the same. And I know we've got a lot of resources, so I think we would manage. Like, we're a resourceful bunch, ain't we?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's something we have to do because I think we owe history. I think I have always believed, I'm not a political guy, I couldn't give a shit because all lying bastards, but I believe that we had an opportunity to do something with a pen that our ancestors fought with
yeah,
a sword.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
You know, and to think that we could say no to that, regardless of what the risks are, I think we have earned the opportunity to have that risk. You know, let's find out for ourselves. Look, you're right, we're a sturdy country and we look after ourselves, you know, and I think we'd go through this tough time, we'd come out the end of it all right, and I think the future would be quite bright.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure.
You know, in Scotland, we've got, we've got quite a big banking sector and all that sort of stuff, as well as all the other sort of stuff. I think that we would definitely be okay.
I agree.
See, with COVID and stuff like that, you realise actually kind of how divided the nations actually are across the United Kingdom. You know, just with the way that they even wanted to deal with COVID, it's quite interesting to sort of see that and how in some ways that the Scottish government's actually constrained at the moment over kind of what it wants to do.
And what it can.
And what it can. And it's because basically, I mean, obviously in the devolved government, I think we've got a bit of a say in how we sort of spend it over certain sectors and stuff like that. But yeah, I think it would be a good thing if Scotland were independent. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right. I think it's an interesting time we're entering now. I think we're heading towards probably things are different than how they were. The feeling's different in Scotland than how it was maybe 10 years ago, wherever it was when we had that that disgusting shambles that was orchestrated by the BBC. That they called a fair election, which clearly not, as we know. So yeah, I'm with you guys. I think we're a good country. We've got the ability. And we've got Jack Hendry scoring for us. I mean, fuck's sake. You know, how different can Scotland be? You know, I could spring 20 names off it now that I thought would score for Scotland. And never, I didn't even think he still played football. I thought he'd retired, gone out to Belgium just to hang around changing rooms and that. I did not think he didn't even look in your lace his boots up. Yeah, but here he is scoring. Are we still winning 1-0, by the way?
Nah, it's 1-1.
Fuck.
1-1 now. I didn't watch. I stopped watching it. I had to walk away from my laptop because I started to think maybe that's what was causing the feedback. So I don't know how we've been playing, but to tell you something, you would have taken 1-1 at half time.
I suppose I absolutely.
Yeah, they're
getting
excited, mate. Yeah, fantastic. They're good chance they could win the Euros with the side that they've got if they put it together. Like the Netherlands, I mean, obviously.
Possibly.
Is that Holland?
It's not going to be England, anyway.
Oh, fucking hopefully not, man. Hopefully we put them at the group. That'd be funny, yeah.
I mean, that would just, you know what, I'd happily do it with them just to know they went out before us. You know, I would.
Yeah.
You know what, I live here and I have to endure the pish every time any tournament comes around. You know, they're going to win it. They're the best. Then they get pumped. And then, unlike Scotland, they revert back to burning effigies of their players and all that. You know, I can see certain players already being hung on washing lines, set on fire, you know. There are certain players that are building up, you know, to be the next. They're going to win it, and then, of course, they're going to destroy it. They're their own worst enemies, aren't they?
Exactly.
They are. They overhype it. If they were just humble, they probably would have won a lot since 66, but
come on.
Them, like...
1966, did we ever hear the end of it, honestly?
No, I know. It's ridiculous. I mean,
They find an anniversary out of it every time. This is the 30th anniversary since William the dog found the cup and obviously went on to win the cup, which of course. And then this is the 45th anniversary of the day they wrote the song. Frank Skinner and Medea wrote the song, of course, which was in memory of how we won the trophy. And like, fuck's sake. And then, of course, this is the 66th anniversary of Snickers, which, of course, refers back to 66. Honestly, I think any excuse to fucking hark back to winning that World Cup, which, by the way, wasn't exactly a fair World Cup. They were quite lucky, you know, let's be honest.
Aye.
Yeah, miserable shakes. I mean, I hope they get knocked out. want to get pumped every game. You know, and I was at that game when Gaza did his little fucking chair thing, getting pissed, and you know, I had to endure watching McArthur miss that penalty. You know,
yeah.
And then all the shite after with Yuri Geller and all that, seeing how he willed it. I spent the whole of my life willing Yuri Geller to fuck off. You know, I was hoping for some magician to come along and just make him fucking disappear. They said Michael Jackson come along and became his pal, and you thought, well, that explains a lot, doesn't it? Just saying, you know, they go together. Yeah. Hey, moving on. Social media land, how do you think its impact had an impact with you guys and your band and your music?
Well, that's actually just something we've kind of what we touched on earlier about the advice we would give about doing the things that you don't really think you need to do. I've just really started trying to just get on the ball with the social media and getting out there. And I mean, without that, we wouldn't be having this conversation with you, man. So that says enough, really. It's intrinsically important for bands nowadays to be in the limelight of social media. So you've just got to do it and just try and make content that's interesting and not just posting up stupid shit that's quite inane, I think. You've just got to put some stuff up that's kind of cool and get people engaged, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's one of those things. It gets a bit of a bad rep, social media. But used correctly, it can be an exciting tool.
Exactly.
It can certainly help bands.
Exactly. Like, that's even just Facebook. It's just there for the messenger, and that's what's so good about it. Like, I don't care about people posting stuff. It's just without the messenger, you wouldn't really speak to people as much as you can. And then obviously, all the other social medias have come with the chat features and that. Certainly, Facebook was the first thing to come out that allowed you to just IM, obviously, messenger and. MSN was before that, wasn't it? That was OG.
Oof. MSN, my God.
MSN, man. Aye.
We had that a few times, God. That's going back, isn't it?
Going back a while now, aye. We're old enough to remember that, anyway.
Ah, that's it, my boys. That's it, lads. How do you feel the music industry treats new bands? And if there was anything you could change about the music industry just now, what would you change?
It's hard to say because we've not really been that involved in that side of it as much. You know what I mean? We only see what they're putting out. And you know how you get that feel where it's like these boys are like this band or this lassie or whatever. It's like you just feel someone's getting shoved in your throat, if you know what I mean, or shoved in your ears, whatever way you want.
Absolutely,
But I feel now it's totally different, obviously. I mean, with social media, it's an absolute ocean of bands and that you can come across, but it is giving bands a platform to do stuff themselves. And I feel I would like it if there was more people involved in helping bands get up and started, rather than saying I will help you get up and started, but we'll own everything you do for the next 5 years. And the thing is, maybe there's stuff out there like that, but it's no easy to come across.
It's like a double-edged sword, isn't it? Here, look, we'll do this for you, but are you willing to sacrifice your soul to get it and take away what is important to you, which is essentially your music, because it is your music. And you might write 4 or 5 minute songs that are absolutely belters, but they go, right, we'll sign you up, here's so much amount of money, but we want you to sing 2 minute 30 pop songs and stand in this video and, you know, take your tap off and ponce around, you know, that kind of shit. But not just that, the control, what your image, how your sound is. And I couldn't imagine there's bands out there that your image and your sound is you, innit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It's about keeping your social media true to that as well. And not just doing stuff that's just for the sake of it or whatever. And you have to just try and, it's all about branding and stuff. And that's the word I've always hated.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, Brandon, yes, you're right. I mean, it's clear that whoever does your social media does a really good job, because it is quite tidy and it ticks along just nicely, and it's never shit content or too much content. It's just a fine balance of what you need to know, what's happening, plus a little bit extra to just, you know, keep you interactive.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly it. Yeah, and that's kind of what we realised. Andrew's really good on the old computer, video and software and editing things like that, making logos. So it's all just, we do everything ourselves within the band, which is quite fun. Make our own videos, you know, record all our own stuff, film our own wee silly skits. So about making, we're a bit more of a collective in a sense rather than just a band. We do so much other stuff as well. But it all ties into the Tropicanas and the image that I guess we're trying to put out there.
Yeah, yeah, it does. You can see that. I mean, before we go, obviously, I need to ask you, there's so many platforms to get your music out. How do you feel the likes of Spotify and some of these other platforms treat new bands today, especially the finances? I mean, I'm hearing horror stories of people getting less than a penny for a stream and all that, you know, and bad people making 5,000 streams and getting less than a fiver, you know, and that's men, yeah, on it.
Learning a bit about that as well just now, the whole doing pre-saves, like trying to get your people saving your singles and getting your songs in playlists, Spotify's, all that sort of thing. We're nowhere near the level of worrying about getting money for spins because we've not got that many. So, but it's certainly like a world that you have to learn. It's not something you can just put your songs up and expect them to get heard. You have to kind of work at getting them in places so that the algorithm picks them up and puts them to people. And then I guess once you get past that point where it's getting there, then you can start to worry about, why am I not getting paid for this?
The thing is, with Spotify as well, labels look at your streaming numbers. So, although you might not be getting much money from it, the streams are still really important. So you do still try and have to push it as much as possible. Whereas you could like sell some CDs or whatever and make some cash, but there's no really anything in that anymore, it seems.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all about streams, aye.
Yeah, it's all digital, man. Nobody has a CD player anymore. Nobody has the records have come back in a big way. A lot of people.
That's what I was going to say.
Collector items as well, just cool to have, and people just put them in picture frames, have them on their walls, and that's cool as well. But certainly for listening to the music, it's all streams. It's all getting your song to be used in a viral TikTok video, and then you're famous, man. That's the way to do it, like.
More music!
We need to warn people. Too clearly now, but I can see that the earth is still round.
to explain. Could take like this. Memories driving my head insane. How am I supposed to live without you in my life? I guess I'll just have to try. Your warm arms when you help me. You always kissed it better, took all of my pain away. For so long, I've been trying to keep the pieces together, but I wish you'd stay. How am I supposed to live without you in my life? I guess I'll just have.
Radio station plays more music like this. Thank you.
so bright. I see the birdsong turn to flight. The better man I wanted to be. Looks like there's a chance for me. Tail lights flashing through my mind. I can't recall the times I've cried. A change in my identity. Here's the man I found in me. Oceans are full of tears. Still nobody hears. Just when I'm free of pain, one look crushes me again. Stepping out on that open road. Is this the day that you take my soul? Stepping out on that open road. Is this the day? Will you take my soul? Is this the day? Will you take my soul? Is this the day? Will you take my
radio station plays more music like this.
Have you joined the cult yet? Terrace Cult Clothing, the new casual brand on the terrace. That Terrace Cult Clothing, terracecult.com.
Tonight's show is brought to you in association with Behead Clothing Glasgow. That's beheadclothing.co.uk. Remember, let's speak up and be heard. The NMF podcast with Dennis Devlin in association with beheadclothing.co.uk.
More music!
We need to warn people.
Well, that's just fantastic from Stuart Wolfenden, The Man I Want to Be, from, of course, that amazing album Songs from a Common Man. I, of course, spoke to Stuart on the podcast. Before that, a brand new track from the amazing vocal talents that is Kelly Cresswell, and that's available now, and that's called Try. And kicking off the three songs in a row, back-to-back, The Tropicanas and Your Man on the Moon. Thanks to the lads in the Tropicanas, and I look forward to chatting to you all again soon on the NMF podcast in association with Behead clothing.co.uk with, of course, me, Dennis.
This radio station plays more music like this.
Have you joined the cult yet? Terrace Cult Clothing, the new casual brand on the terraces. That's Terrace Cult Clothing, terracecult.com.
Let's talk about you. There's the morning you.
Bye, Mum. Bye.
The maybe tomorrow you. The lunch at your desk again, you. There's the just a couple to unwind every night, you.
Yeah, go.
The pile it all on you. And the settled for the night again, you. Which could lead to the these used to fit you. The give us a minute, love, you. The heart disease, you.
And what you got is a...
Or the type 2 diabetes, you. So how about the enough is enough you, the no more of these you, they'll start to chuck some of this in you. The you that goes. That's why One You is here, to help you start the fight back to a healthier you.
Get you.
Because there's only one you, and we want it to be the best you it can be. Take the One You Health quiz to see how you score. Search One You.
This radio station plays more music like this.
More music.
We need to warn people.